Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Supernova International Ska Festival started out modestly enough as a 2013 show with Chris Murray and King Django. It wasn't called the Supernova International Ska Festival. In fact, for the next few years, as it developed into an actual festival, it changed names a few times. The 2014 One-Day Brewfest and the 2015 Two-Day Virginia Ska Festival. In 2017, they settled on the name Supernova International Ska Festival. The lineup included Derek Morgan, Agrolites, The Skints, Pilfers, Sammy Kay, Hub City Stompers, Pie Tasters, and many others. The festival has only grown. This year, 2023, is looking to be the biggest and best lineup so far. Now at Virginia's historic Fort Monroe, Supernova is a three-day festival with bands from all over the world, every era of ska, and every type of ska. Just a few of the amazing acts playing Supernova this year include Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra, Don Letts, Suicide Machines, The Duelers, Catbite, Bad Operation, Fishbone, Planet Smashers, and Out of Control Army. Today we speak with co-founder Tim Receiver. He founded the festival with his wife April Receiver. And we talk with creative director Mike DiMatteo.
I've never really been a big festival guy. However, more recently, I'm feeling these festivals, most particularly Supernova.
Yeah, I think that festivals need to be ska or punk focused. Otherwise, forget about it.
Right. And I also don't want it to just be a nostalgia fest. Like, it's fine to have some legacy bands that from back in the day, but I want new bands too. Like, one of the best things about going to shows and seeing live music, in addition to seeing bands that you love, is discovering new bands.
Yeah. Supernova this year, and they've announced the lineup at this point. Amazing lineup. We have bands from all over the world. We have Bad Time bands. We have ska punk bands from the 90s. We have traditional ska core. It really, I feel like it covers the full spectrum of ska right now.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I think a ska festival should be.
And that's what we're about, the full spectrum.
Yeah. In defense of ska, we are about the full spectrum. By the way, before we get in our conversation with Tim and Mike of Supernova, we want to let you know that we have a relationship with them for Supernova this year. We'll announce it and give more specific details in April or May. But just for now, just know that we've worked something out for Supernova for In Defense of Ska. For 2023.
Maybe you'll see us there.
Let's start by talking about the Rude Girl Review. This is something that debuted at Supernova. Tell me a little bit about Rude Girl Review from your guys' perspective.
Yeah. This is probably like beginning of 2021 at this point. Kristen from the Scotch Bonnets reached out and, you know, just threw the idea out of a kind of a a super group with, you know, all the, we had several bands coming, Half Past Two and the Scotch Bonnets and, you know, Hubs, Jenny from Hub City. And, you know, they had quite a lot of women in the bands last year, and they wanted to put together this group. And anyway, we just gave them the green light to do it. We gave them a great spot. They were like the, I think the Pilfers closed on Friday night, but they were played right before and, you know, prime time. And yeah, it worked out, you know, extremely well for us and for them. And, you know, they've kind of gone around the world with that now, and they're going to be back with us obviously next year.
So wasn't their name originally called something with the name Supernova in it?
Yeah. Well, we actually, I think they were, it was like codenamed Supernovas or something.
Okay.
Which I kind of like that, but it kind of, it's limiting maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that it wasn't your idea, but I think Supernova is part of the story because of what you said about how there was all of these bands that were already going to be at this festival. So it became logistically possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, there's not quite as many this time around. Like a lot of those bands aren't coming back. Some of them are. So I'm going to, you know, kind of wait and hopefully it all works out again, but they're going to be playing and, you know, there'll be different women led bands there. Some we haven't announced yet. We're going to go see one of them tomorrow, Bite Me Bambi in DC, mm-hmm. Which is great, but yeah, it could, you know, maybe it could lead to another collaboration or combination of women on the stage.
Is that the, has there ever been any other made up bands or brand new bands at Supernova?
Yeah, there's, well, I think it's going to be more obvious this time around, but there was a band called Droogs Don't Run.
Yeah, yeah. That's, that has members of Inspector Seven, Hub City Stompers, and Skoydats, right?
Goydets, yeah. So that's one that they formed just for Supernova for, 2020 originally, and then last year. And some of the Skoydets couldn't make it. We still ended up having Justin from the Skoydets, and they did, you know, three Skoydets songs last year. Very well received. And this time around, we've got that whole group coming back. And then everybody that was missing last time. And we've given them like a solid hour. So yeah, that could be a lot of fun. And you know, it's just a giant super band of all the Inspector Seven, HCS, and Skoydats people.
Is it? Do they play like whatever songs from that pool of songs from those bands? Is that what they do, or do they do unique stuff?
So far, it's been songs from those bands. Mm-hmm. So that, yeah, I don't know if they'll do anything unique. I doubt it. I know Rude Girl; they had a couple originals at the show last year.
Yeah,
but as far as I know, I don't know if Travis is planning on putting any new music out with just that group, but I doubt it. I think it's going to be playing the hits.
So in the film Pick It Up, Scone the 90s, there were several interviews filmed at Supernova, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that is a credit to my wife who, you know, helps run the festival, obviously. And she was working with Taylor closely and scheduled all those interviews around Fredericksburg. So It's not cited in there, but you know, there's a lot of interviews at the festival. We shot a lot of stuff offsite with people. I think even Adam from, you know, he was in the specials, Adam Flymo-Birch. He actually did an interview in a vault at a bank, old bank vault.
It didn't
make the cut. I was looking for, you know, maybe the cuts and everything, but I never saw it, but would have been a good interview, I'm sure.
I wonder if I have that, because I almost ended up editing some of that, so I got shipped a hard drive, because I'd love to see that one. I mean, a bank location sounds like a great interview setup coming from a production standpoint.
I wonder what the what it would sound like in there though.
Yeah, well, nowadays, because of, you know, all the audio tools, if you're worried about reverb and stuff like that, you could take a lot of it out. And you know, to be honest, as a sound mixer and a, you know, producer, like, sometimes I'll look at it and I'm just like, all right, that interview looks great. So let's figure out what we got to do to make the audio, you know, sound good enough to play it, as long as you can hear it. Right. Cause, you know, then you get the best of both worlds when you get audio and video and you get a cool shot and it sounds good enough, because I don't know, it sounds pretty cool in a vault. I'll tell you that.
Well, if you find it, let me know. I'd love to see that. And that, if you've ever talked to Adam for 5 seconds, he's one of the funniest people on the planet, I think.
Do you know who else did their interview around Supernova?
Mike and Ronnie from Spring Hill Jack did it.
Ronnie, Chris Murray, Dan Potis. Dan was in the back of his van in a pouring rain the whole weekend that weekend.
Oh, right. That's another great interview look that they came up with. And I know that must have been hell because it was pouring.
It was pouring.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks great.
This was 2018 or 17?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, like Memorial Day weekend, 2018. And it was a mudstorm for sure. Like mud everywhere.
So, okay. Was this during the whole festival or just like one day?
It rained. Well, it was a Saturday, Sunday. It was only 2 days in 2018. And it rained both days, like all day. It cleared up a little bit at the night each night, but it got to the point we probably lost 3 or 4 hours to rain on Saturday and at least a couple hours on Sunday. And it was a little bit of a panic mode because, you know, trying to get everybody to play and, you know, everybody to see at least 30 or 45 minutes of their set. And we got everything in, thankfully, but yeah, it was a lot of a break. And there's some really great video of Chris Murray and Josh Coots and a lot of the ska people like doing impromptu concerts underneath the tents with people. Huh. And it was, you know, something that, you know, a lot of people remember from that weekend is that kind of acoustic sets under the tent during thunderstorms, which is probably not a good idea.
While Tim wanted to, you know, hide because it was pouring rain all weekend, but everybody else was having a great time.
I just remember we got out of that rain delay after 3 hours, and Westbound was the band kicking everything off afterwards. And they cranked the sound up so loud and the bass up so loud. It was so good. But the cops ended up showing up from noise complaints and it ended up being fine, but they sounded so good. Yeah. It was a great set to come out of.
Now was this the year that Dr. Ringding was playing and that the lightning was happening during his set?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a he was being backed by Eastern Standard Time, and there was like a, and we were tracking the radar and tracking the storms coming through, and there was just a stray lightning bolt above the stage, not right above, but you know, higher up. And anyway, we turned everything off, obviously got everybody out of there, and that was the beginning of the rain delay.
Yeah, I bet that must have been a little scary.
Well, I used to be a weather forecaster for 10 years, and yeah, it's just, you know, and been on the swim team and kind of following the same, you know, okay, we'll wait 20 minutes for, you know, thunder before we start it up again. And every time we get to close to 20, a thunderstorm, you know, another bolt would hit off in the distance, or, you know, we hear thunder and we put it on pause again. So, yeah, it was a little scary for sure.
So 2020, you have a normal festival planned, but COVID happens and you do some quarantine edition stuff, but you also turn that into a fundraiser for the Alpha Boys School.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we got going in 2019, and like with ticket sales and everything was looking great. And we've still never made a profit on the festival, which is hopefully we switch and make that happen this time around.
That's the goal.
But you know, with 2019, it was like, okay, we're finally getting everything. You know, it's looking great, and then COVID. And we put a pause on it till 2021, like everybody else did. And we did a virtual fundraiser with, I think we ended up with 75 bands from around the world contributing tracks to that. And we ended up raising $13,000 for Alpha for that. And it gave us a little bit of a motivation. We did a charity record, a global ska record, like the year after, and raised another, I think at this point, like $10,000, $11,000. Additional. So yeah, we've got a good partnership with Alpha, and I'm hoping that they come up to the festival, bring some students, bring some musicians with them for 2023.
So Alpha Boys School is part of the story of the formation of ska. A lot of the Skatalites members and other musicians of that time in Jamaica attended the school, learned about jazz and stuff like that, learned how to play instruments. What is the story of Alpha Boys School now in terms of its relationship to Jamaican music?
Yeah, well, they still have music lessons and music production. It's, you know, teaching skill sets to students. So they still do a lot of that. Like, obviously, like ska isn't quite as big as in Jamaica, even as it was, you know, back in the 60s and 70s. But that's starting to come around a little bit where they've done some tracks. We raised some money for them to record some records, at least one record that we're going to release at Supernova next year.
Oh, cool.
Like a vinyl 7-inch where they're doing some Minto and they're doing some ska. So, you know, it's I don't think it's as important. Like, ska's not as important as it used to be, but, you know, we're trying to, you know, get people interested in it again there, get the, you know, some of the students that are interested in it, getting them up to Supernova, where maybe they play with some bands next year. You know, the kids that are working on music production, for instance, would be working with our sound team to, you know, to produce the show. So real world experiences.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Let's see. I can't remember which year it is. You had Derek Morgan play Supernova 60th anniversary, his 60th anniversary as a performer. What year was that?
Yeah, that was 2017.
That was 2017, backed by Western Standard Time Orchestra.
It was that was Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern Standard, yeah, because they're locals, right?
Yeah, Richmond, D.C., like Baltimore, like, yeah, they're great. And, you know, they've been with us since, I think, 2015. They played that show. And, well, you know, we've been friends with them forever. And they're a great bunch of musicians. And they're as close to a house band as we have right now. But, you know, anybody that comes to play, you know, they'll probably be backing Dr. Ringding for 2023. They back Derek Morgan. You know, we've had other plans with bigger musicians that just have fallen through or haven't come through yet. You know, but yeah, it was great. And I think the hardest part with Derek was just trying to get a hold of him initially. But after that, he's a, you know, total pro. Like, he, I don't know if you've probably seen him in California for some of those shows.
I have, yeah.
But he has a you know, a horrible back where he for 2017, he was down on his back the entire weekend where he didn't even stand at all. And then he got to the show and, you know, he got up on stage and had a cane, but you wouldn't have known he had any, you know, back issues at all. You know, he just brought the heat all that whole set. It's really great.
He headlined, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, if he played any of our shows, he'd headline at all.
How did the crowd receive Derek Morgan?
Oh, I think it was a great crowd. Yeah. A lot of energy. I think, you know, they either know the songs or they know the covers of the songs from other people. So singing along to every word, and, you know, a big swath of the audience, you know, they know who he is and knows what he represents. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I think it was special. And, you know, the Agrolites were there. Chris Murray introduced him, and, you know, it was, I think for me, it's probably the most special night of the festival ever.
Yeah, I bet. So you got, Hepcat to come to the East Coast for the first time in 20 years.
Yeah. Well, we had them and then we didn't have them and then we had them again.
Yeah. What happened?
The old secret behind the scenes panic.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hear about that.
Yeah. Well, I should talk to Greg about it just to make sure, you know, I don't know the exact details, but, you know, I think they were playing Riot Fest on Saturday and they were playing our festival on Sunday. And I think with just COVID and everything, it was probably a little scary to kind of bounce around the country for all them. 'Cause that's, you know, it's not their day job for a lot of them, you know, but they ended up backing out of ours and, you know, we were devastated. But then, they got a little pushback online. I know Greg kind of hyped it up at the time, but, you know, people were asking, you know, why they were canceling on us and, you know, how it was kind of rude to do that. And, anyway, they ended up coming around where Greg got them all on board and sold it to them and they recommitted to Supernova.
Yeah.
And caused me like a month of like really panic inducing moments.
How do you replace a Hepcat on a bill? And you know, they don't make trips over here as much.
Yeah. It's not just Hepcat. It's Hepcat's first show in the area in 20 years.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And that was the first thing we announced. So it's like kind of what you're hanging your hat on, you know, and we ended up like, as soon as they backed out, we offered Les and Jake, but somebody in the band had a wedding that weekend and couldn't make it. And then we offered English Beat, but they were on the West Coast and they were really worried with COVID, like being able to get all the way to the East Coast and make the show. So by the time Eastern or English Beat said they couldn't make it, Greg had come back, and anyway, it all worked out in the end.
How did you talk him into doing it in the first place? I'm sure people have been asking for them to come out there for a while.
Yeah, well, we've had Greg. We had him out here in 2017 and 2018. Like he was being backed by, we were calling it the Agro Pie Cats out of a lack of another name, but it was like the Agrolites and Pie Tasters were backing him for his songs, yeah. You know, for Hepcat songs. And then the next year we had him out for Western Standard Time. He was singing with them, and Doreen Schaefer was out here singing with them as well, and Chris Murray. So he'd been out a couple years before that.
Okay.
And we were, you know, we had talked about that before with him, like getting, you know, next step is Hepcat out here. And, you know, it's all Greg Lee, like making that happen.
I see. So any highlights of the Hepcat show once it actually happened?
Oh, the entire thing.
Yeah. It was special. Yeah.
I really want to release that record. So Greg Lee, if you're listening, hit us up. It sounds amazing. And we have some great video to go along with it. And it was like, I don't know, that made the entire festival for me, like in a package. There's a lot of other pieces that come together, right? But like when they were up there, I was like, yeah, okay, this is like complete right now.
Has Supernova done other live releases?
The only thing we put out is Derek Morgan's live album, and all the money went to Derek.
Gotcha.
But it was all digital. But we recorded everything. You know, Mike was working on the live stream last year, recorded everything. Sounds wonderful. We've got all the bands, and it's one of the options that we're looking at now is maybe releasing like four or five of the band's live albums at Supernova, since they sound so good.
And we're taking them back to the studio, and Greg DaCrosta from ska fame, he'll hate that I mentioned this, but he played in a band called JC Super Ska way back in New Haven. And then in the 90s, when that's basically the reason I got into ska. But he's a ridiculous audio engineer and mixer. So he's taken him back. We edited everything, made it sound clean, and remixed everything. So even though people may have heard it on the live stream and it sounded great because our house sound team is awesome, when we brought it back in the studio, now it sounds like a record. Right. It sounds like that perfect mixture of like live crowd feel, but tightness of an album that, you know, they recorded in a studio. And they Hepcat especially was so on point. It was ridiculous to think that, you know, they also, it's not like they're out there playing 300 shows a year, right? Like they're just super pro and they're great. They're professional musicians and they know how to nail it. And you would thought that they were on the road for, you know, 200 shows a year, the way they were so tight. It's crazy.
Yeah. And just to be aware, like Mike D gets paid $1 by the city of New Haven, Connecticut, every time he mentions them on air. But yeah, Hepcat was, that was the first time all night, all weekend, even we did three days in a row, like 10 hour days. And that was the first time I sat down, like, oh, that entire time I was running around with my head cut off otherwise. And it was pretty special after everything that had happened with, you know, In and Out and just all the years trying to get them out here. It's, you know, that was a really great moment.
So you you tried to get Planet Smashers out, but maybe was it last year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had, the Planet Smashers were going to come out, and obviously COVID, and it's pretty expensive for them to come down just for one show off of, you know, one of the visas that they have to pay for. So we just kind of put that on hold. We brought Bucko 9 instead. And then, you know, they're going to be playing, Planet Smasher is going to be playing in 2023.
Yeah. Has that been dealing with being an international festival now? Has work visas and all of that been a difficult thing to navigate?
It normally hasn't been, but with COVID it was. There was a point last year where Dr. Ringden was trying to get into the country, and he trained all the way out to, I think, to Paris, and then flew to Ireland and was trying to get out, and he got stopped. And, you know, we had several other bands from different places that they couldn't get in last year. And we saw it far enough ahead of time to kind of reschedule.
Why did he get stopped, though? Was he not allowed to come over?
Yeah, it was like U.S. COVID requirements. And he didn't have COVID. It was just the visas he was on. And I don't know. He tried about everything to get in.
I see.
Yeah. He looked devastated, though. He called us from the show, like on video, and was, yeah, he is super sad to not make it.
I bet, yeah. But let's see. Cooley Ranks, some years back, did a set with Toasters. They did like Dub 56 songs.
Yeah, they did that in 2017, and he did it again with them in last year at the last one.
That's cool. Does he sit in with them much these days? I don't like hearing much of him doing that.
It depends if he's around, him and Bucket. I've seen them, you know, over the past decade do it quite a number of times.
Okay.
And it's like, it's just good to see that when they're together and there's that possibility, because it just kind of brings you back to that certain time in ska.
Yeah, yeah.
There was just something about that band, the Toasters, at that time with that lineup.
Yeah, I mean, that must be an East Coast thing then, since Cooley lives out there, because every time Toasters comes out here, I've never seen, it's just whatever they're touring with, yeah.
That's exactly what it is. If you know, something happens in New Haven, or there we go, I get another check mark, right? I get another dollar.
$2.
I've seen it a couple times in New York when I go hang out with Bucket, or, you know, Cooley and vice versa, somebody will pop in. Usually Bucket's there, and then Cooley will kind of navigate his way where nobody knows he's coming. And then boom, it's like, what's up, Mike? I'm like, oh, you're here. I figured I'd see you. and then they make something happen.
Nice.
And Cooley does his thing. I just enjoy it because Cooley's told me on video somewhere too, but just some of the stories about recording, mm-hmm. especially Dub 56 and how he went in with Matt Malice. And, you know, there might have been some wine involved, and Cooley would just spit a take or two and just nail the things that you hear on the record. It's just, you know, there's no editing. It's really just stop and start.
Yeah.
And when you think about that, you're like, it's just crazy to think about somebody that can spit things that fast.
Yeah.
And then you see it now and you're like, all right, they still got it. And there may or may not be something live coming out maybe sometime soon that features that.
Hmm.
I found this review that somebody wrote on Supernova Festival. It was called 3 days of skinheads, Hawaiian shirts, and cider. Is that a fair is that a fair headline for Supernova?
I'd say, like, minus the cider, like there wasn't a lot. There's a cider house not too far away, so maybe that's what they mean. But we were at a brewery last year, and like they didn't have.
It's more beer.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have more cider this time around, so it'll probably be truer in 2023.
Yeah, there's going to be a little more selection now outside of just the beer realm. But you know how festivals and parties like this work. People find their beverage of choice,
yeah,
where they may find it.
Yeah, so the real thing I wanted to mention about that review is that they consistently talk about after parties. Can you talk a little bit about Supernova after parties?
Yeah, well, we've I think this time around we'll have even more after parties. We're trying to do something with Don Letts ahead of time, mm-hmm. so we'll have kind of like some pre-parties going on that should be phenomenal. And we're starting to plan out some after parties right now. We've got a huge National Guard headquarters, like this building it's now a distillery and a brewery, and it holds probably 800 people. So we're planning some really good ones right now, but before there were some crazy parties that involved, I don't know, the Dendrites, if that rings a bell, mm-hmm. out of Colorado.
Yeah.
They had some crazy after party in an Airbnb backyard. And I guess the cops showed up and they love ska too. So it wasn't a problem, you know, but it's what everybody, I come back the next morning and everybody's, you know, they're just raving about this after party that the Dendrites had on a Saturday night.
What about that hotel party when it was like, when I was playing with Springheel Jack that night, and we had to leave early in the morning, but the rest of the band definitely partook in that because I barely slept because I heard them and the pie tasters outside.
How many hotel rooms? There were hundreds of hotel rooms at this Fredericksburg, Virginia, like hotel, and they were great. And there would be parties all night there, and I'd show up and I would talk to the management, and I'd say like, any problems? Even though I heard it, you know, at 4 a.m. when I was there picking people up, and they're like, no problems at all. It's all, everything's great.
Dude, it was crazy. I mean, they must be the greatest people in the world because there's a lot of action going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think the craziest, well, I showed up there one time, like Western Standard Time called me. And I don't know if you know how they're a huge band and everybody has to fly back and it's not cheap. And they were missing two guys. And so Eton calls me and he says, you know, I got these two guys, they're missing in action. Like their flights are up, you know, it's an hour away for the airport. And he says, like, if you know, you don't have to, like, you don't owe us anything. Like, but if you find them and could bring, you know, be forever grateful, you know. So I go to the hotel and everything is still going really hard. And like it's 4:30 a.m. and everything's still going. And he gives me a couple hotel rooms to check. And I check the first one and there's a huge party and the guys are not in there. And he gives me the other one and I start banging on the door, you know, and I'm hearing some movement, but not really. Keep banging. And then the door opens and it's Roddy from the Specials in there and he's in his underwear. and I'm like looking for these two guys and he's like, I have no idea where they are. And anyway, like kind of apologetic, but like, you know, anyway, just, you know, anyway, Specials experience. That's one of my only experiences with the Specials.
Yeah, what an experience.
Hopefully it gets better from here.
You would think that there's some adults, I guess. We can call ourselves adults, right? But it's like the same stuff that happens that it was like a college trip or whatever, right? You know, you get left over here, you miss your flight. It's like the same crap still goes on. Because somebody throws a festival and says, hey, here's all these hotels, here's all these beers, here's all these stages. You know, go make your flights. Nobody's going to be that responsible.
You know, if they were just going to New Haven, Connecticut, it's one thing, but like flying to LA is like another.
Oh, if you came here, it'd be even worse.
Yep.
Okay, so 2013. This is where it all begins. Chris Murray hits you up about doing a house show or helping him out with a house show. Is that right?
Yep.
How do you know Chris Murray at this point? Just being a fan?
Yeah, it was just a fan. And I had just got back. I was working for a nonprofit and I'd just come back from Iraq and I always wanted to do a music festival. And I was there and, you know, I didn't know anything about doing a music festival, but I was running events in, of all places, like in Iraq. And I was there for running a conference and we had an explosion close to our hotel and gunfire, you know, kind of came back from that. Like, okay, like if I could do this here, like I can do a music festival. It's not that hard. I don't think, you know, we could figure it out. And so Chris Murray was touring on the East Coast and was looking for house parties to kind of fill the gaps. And, you know, I reached out and we'd put it on, you know, reached out to some friends that we were having Chris Murray at the house. And it turned into way too many people at our house. It wasn't too big.
So the people were showing up at the house and there was too many, or there was just too many people in advance saying, I'm definitely coming.
Yeah, like RSVPing and bringing friends. And so we reached out to a brewery and, you know, we gave them the number of people that were going to show up there. And we ended up having Django out there as well, King Django. And the turnout was, you know, better than we thought. And, you know, they were buying beers and food. And the brewery manager was super excited about it and, you know, kind of offered the brewery anytime we wanted to have it. We could do anything we wanted to. They had a huge parking lot. So that was really the very beginning. And Chris has been, he played every show since then, which is great.
So the first year, so 2014, the Supernova Brewfest.
Yeah, it was just the Brewfest. It was really horribly named.
Yeah.
and not only was it a bad name, like Brewfest, but there was another Brewfest in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Mm. So it was like super confusing on top of everything else.
Side tangent. I never thought about this or had any idea until I was researching. Nova, Supernova. Nova means North Virginia.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Never occurred to my brain at all.
That went over my head for sure.
No. And nobody knows, like, you know, in Virginia, it's like Nova's like accepted term. Like everybody talks about it. But we're now we moved the festival down to Southeast Virginia on the North Carolina border. So now we're no longer Northern Virginia. We're like Southeast Virginia. So, but we're going to keep it.
Okay. So, so the Supernova Brewfest, Pie Tasters, Chris Murray, Grace and Tony, who are not a ska band. Because the first year is a ska, soul, and rock and roll festival.
Yeah, it's really lame, right?
Chris Wigley? Yeah? Not ska as well.
Not ska. The Snails were the other one that showed up.
Yes, who, so tell people who was in the Snails.
The Snails was, if you know Tim Hildebrand from Catbite.
Yes.
That was his band, and Todd and Ben and like a couple of the guys in Catbite were in the Snails, and I don't know where Todd is now. I've seen his name around, but anyway, they're kind of that group kind of moved into Catbite a little bit. And, yeah. But the Snails before that, they'd played, I think, like 3 years with us. So they were, you know, a bunch of great guys as well. Grace and Tony was kind of like, I don't know, like maybe Avett Brothers style, like kind of rock country mix.
Yeah.
Not, I wouldn't book him again, obviously, for ska. And Chris Wigley was a high school friend of mine that I've known since I've been about 6 years old. So he wanted to play the show, and he's more country. It didn't really fit. The whole thing was not well thought out, but the end of it was the Snails, Chris Murray, and the Pie Tasters. And that all, you know, that's what people showed up for. And, you know, we kind of took that core and kind of moved it into what we called Virginia Ska Fest, like in 2015.
But how did it, how was the reception, or how was the turnout of the festival itself?
The first one, I think maybe we had 300 people.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't very much. It was in a small parking lot, so it looked pretty good. You know, not too empty, but we probably doubled that for the Virginia Ska Fest the next year around, maybe a little bit more than that.
Okay, so Virginia Ska Festival is still a single-day festival.
At that point, we'd moved it, like, the 2014 was this, like, a one-day, and 2015 was a two-day, and same location.
Yeah.
So it was a place called the Blue and Gray Brewery, and that's the place where we had our first show.
Okay, and so who were some of the acts that played on the Virginia Ska Festival?
I mean, a lot of the core ones that we have now, you know, the Toasters, Mike was actually there with Spring Hill Jack, Pie Tasters, Sammy Kay was there.
Okay.
I'm looking at the poster now. The Slackers played, which I should have known that. Chris Murray, Dan P, the Snails played again. Murphy's Kid, Sammy Kay, and a band called 4.0, which is like a local ska band.
Oh, you know what happened at that one? While we were on stage with Spring Hill Jack, we were playing. And I mean, Spring Hill Jack's got a long lineage of stuff breaking or going wrong whenever they're playing. And this was from the 90s till now. And whether it's a broken pedal or somebody's fallen off stage or who knows what goes on. But this time the lights went out. Like the whole festival, lights, camera, action, nothing.
Yeah, well, let me like talk about that, because that was kind of funny and terrifying. Like that was like the first time all weekend where it's like, okay, I gotta go take a piss, and I can finally relax. Everything's going great, and was in the bathroom, and all of a sudden the music goes off completely, like in mid song, and it was also the first time our sound guy, his name is Mark Chauvin, he's a great family friend, like he still does our sound. He's a big Spring Hill fan. So he decides, you know, Spring Hill guys are taking over the soundboard, and he'll just relax and he'll sit down and enjoy this moment, you know, with Spring Hill Jack. So it's the first time he sit down all day as well. And what happened is like somebody unplugged the plug for everything and plugged in their cell phone to recharge.
I got to find the video of that. That actually exists somewhere on video where it's just we're playing and then ba-boom, blackout.
Yeah. I just know there were like so many people dropping the F-bomb like in our vicinity just because, and it took a while to get it all back up. But it's like some, I don't know, I even know who was the person. I would never have them back again if I knew who it was that unplugged it, but it's so dumb. We don't have that problem anymore. The generators are behind the stage now, but.
Right. And that's why the festival grows. There's generators, there's backup generators, things of that nature, just in case somebody decides to plug in their cell phone charger.
So 2016, there's no festival. And then 2017, it's now Supernova International Ska Festival.
Yeah. So in 2016, the owner of the brewery passed away. So we were thinking about doing it, maybe not, we're not sure. And then he passed away and it's like, okay, we should just take a break and like rethink everything and kind of took a break to rebrand and, you know, came up with Supernova, came up with the 2 days, really took it to another level. I think with, we brought in the Suicide Machines and Western Standard Time and Doreen Schaefer and, trying to think of like Stubborn All-Stars and MU330 and, like the quality of bands, I think, not that they were not good before, but like a lot more bands, a lot bigger mix of bands and kind of longer days, so that it gave us time to rethink everything and get that going for 2017.
Was this a Stubborn All-Stars reunion?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Cause they hadn't played in a while, right?
No. And we reached out to Django and, got all that set up and, yeah, that was a regret too, that we got it all together, but it was all the rainstorms and everything. We got to cut all the sets short. So they didn't get it to do as much as they wanted to, but sounded phenomenal. Everybody was, really pleased to see that, especially on the East Coast. It was really big at the time.
As you're, 2017, we have a couple years, you've rebranded it, you're building. A couple of things I want to talk about. So at some point you start utilizing Kickstarter to help fundraising for the festival.
Yeah. So we started with, some of like the Hammond B3, we wanted to bring that, but it's like an additional expense and like, well, maybe we could turn on, we only need like $600 or $700 to do that. Like, so we turned that on and got that right away, so it helped with that kind of thing. And then we turned, in 2019, like when we were starting to sell tickets for 2020, we put a Kickstarter together, and kind of announced all the bands and we were aiming for $70,000 and hit that like in 30 days, which is great.
No, it was Taylor kickstarting Pick It Up was an influence for you to make that decision.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, watching that all take off, it's like, oh, okay, well that's useful. This time around, I just kind of went and got all the headlining bands that we needed from the very beginning. We decided to do a slower rollout this time around since we're so far out.
Yeah.
So I paid for those initial bands with Tokyo Ska Paradise and Fishbone and Pie Tasters, to kind of get all that in the pipeline, so we didn't have to do a Kickstarter this time around. Cause I feel like if we would have done a Kickstarter this time, like last time around, we showed our entire hand, a year out. It turned out to be 2 years out. But this time around, it's like we can kind of keep things closer, make it like exciting over time instead of everything at once.
Yeah. Some point in here, you had considered or even attempted to do like an Asian tour, an Indonesia festival.
Yeah. Well, we talked with a few bands about doing kind of Indonesia, the Philippines, like maybe Japan.
Now, it's my understanding that you it was actually in the works, but then there was an ISIS attack that disrupted it.
Well, I mean, I'd say it was in the works, like planning wise, but there was a terrorist bombing in Jakarta right when we were kind of making the call, which kind of made it easy to cancel. We were trying to get funders and you need to get commitments from the bands. And we were kind of at that tipping point, one way or another. And that happened. It was like, okay, fine. We won't do that. It's maybe a horrible idea, but it was, we were trying to do like a kind of a coast to coast in Indonesia. And, there's a big ska scene there. There's a ska scene in the Philippines. And obviously I lived in Japan for 3 years and, that's where I got into ska. So I know there's a huge scene there as well.
Interesting. Yeah. Supernova, the world tour.
Would you have brought bands or would you have used bands from over there?
it would have been a combination, mostly, you know, local bands or like Asian bands coming in. Mm-hmm. And then we'd probably bring in like, you know, the idea was like three American bands. The Pie Tasters were one of those, and, you know, kind of Chris Murray and Dan P and those kinds that you could put backing musicians to, you know, that would be cost effective. But yeah, it's
right.
You know, might still consider that in the future. It's pretty risky to do that, I think, but it would be fun.
Yeah. You don't hear about a lot of bands touring over there.
If we can make this year super successful,
yeah,
and everybody comes out, guess what? The way Tim operates and his brain works, that stuff will be going around and around and around, and eventually he'll want to go, oh, hey, you know what? Maybe we should try this. That's kind of Tim's MO.
Nice.
Maybe pre-COVID, that's a great idea, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I interviewed Aaron Barrett from Real Big Fish, probably like 2016 or something like that. And he told me that he's like, oh, we just got back from Indonesia, played a big ska festival there. Ska's huge.
Yeah.
It just seems so out of nowhere to me. I was like, wow, okay, that's awesome.
Look up Jakarta and ska, and like they've got festivals with, you know, 75,000 people there.
Dang.
It's like Taylor Swift, but like ska.
So COVID, then 2021. But 2021, you changed the location to Fort Monroe.
Yeah. So I moved down between, like, in 2018, like we'd moved down to it's close to the beach on the Chesapeake Bay. So we had a show in 2018. I took 2019 off and then was planning for 2020 down here. And it's, you know, beautiful spot. It's like this little peninsula that sticks out in the Chesapeake Bay. We're going to be right on the bay this time around. The stage is right next to the steps. People can just go right to the beach from there and like in and out all day as much as they want. But yeah, it's an old decommissioned military fort. And it's interesting that historically it's the first place where Africans were brought to the New World to go to Jamestown as slaves, and the first place where they were freed during the Civil War in 1861. So it's kind of this arc of history it's really strange in this little fort, but it's an old stone fort with moats around it and lighthouses, and yeah, it's kind of insane, but a cool spot to be.
Huh. Yeah. So, okay. I mean, I haven't been there yet, but it looks like an amazing place to have a music festival.
Yeah. We kind of get the run of the place. It's like a lot of tourists here during the, obviously like before Labor Day, but after Labor Day, the fort just gives us the fort, you know, all the parking, like hundreds and hundreds of parking spaces for free. And, you know, they gave us a much bigger spot this time around. The only downside is we have to bring in all our own power and infrastructure, you know, but we're working on that right now.
So, Tim, you mentioned that you had lived in Japan. I think it was in the early 90s, right?
Yeah, like 93 to 96.
Okay. And did you discover ska while you were there, or you just got into ska?
Yeah, both. I'd shown up there, I grew up in rural Indiana. And was like huge into like Aerosmith and AC/DC and Metallica and all those kind of bands, which is, you know, I show up in Japan and there was my wife and I, we went to a Aerosmith concert at Yokohama, which like for somebody in rural Indiana, like that is kind of the peak of rock and roll, and showed up there and it was the worst show ever. They phoned it in completely, I thought. And we kind of left there like disillusioned with, you know, with rock, I guess. And like the next weekend we were down in downtown Tokyo, and I don't know if you've ever been, but they've got record stores and all these apartment buildings. So every, you know, a lot of these places have their own, like there'd be a reggae store and a ska store and a punk store. And they were all, you know, just focused on one style of music, like jazz. And we ended up just in the ska store for some reason. And the owner, you know, we were talking about music, and he ended up giving me the Voodoo Glow Skulls, Who Is This Is, and some Op Ivy and Scatolites, and, you know, took that home and just, you know, kind of took it from there and came back and spent way too much money, like the rest of the time I was in Japan. But anyway, kind of turned me on to all this different style of music and, you know, all the bands that were, you know, kind of getting popular at the time. And, you know, I'm seeing Tokyo Ska Paradise there and like thinking that, you know, that was way better than anything I'd ever seen at the Aerosmith show, you know? So anyway, just kind of switch gears completely. And I think I've maybe listened to Aerosmith once or twice, you know, since, but anyway, like ska's everything now.
Mike, let's hear your story, your story, your background with ska.
I mean, it started in high school. I got into punk rock. I loved Green Day. And then my cousin was like, hey, I got this band Rancid. So we went up to his house in New Hampshire and we were listening to all this stuff. And my uncle walked in and was like, who's this band that's got two lead singers and sounds like this? And we were like, oh, it's Rancid. And he was like, come downstairs. So we went downstairs into the basement, and little did I know that my uncle was like in the whole Boston punk scene, rock and roll scene. And he had every 7-inch, every 12-inch, Specials, Madness. It's how I found out about Joe Jackson. It's how I found out about Elvis Costello and all these awesome records. Simultaneously, I decided to become a saxophone player and started getting pretty good, was in the jazz band. And there was a couple of kids, Greg DaCrosta and Anthony Rossimondo, who played in this group called JC Superska. And Anthony's sister, Carmela, is my best friend. And now she plays with us in Sergeant Skag. But we just knew about them because they were in our high school. And we would go to this place called the Tune Inn in New Haven, which, for anybody that doesn't know, is basically the CBGBs of Connecticut. And so you'd have literally CBGBs, the Tune In, and then the Rat or whatever other club up in Boston, and every band came through there. So simultaneously, these things are, you know, happening. I'm finding out about all this new stuff, but then about this old stuff from my uncle. And, you know, one day we just started a band because we wanted to be like Anthony and Greg. And then that's when we met everybody from Spring Hill Jack. And that's what we did every weekend. And then, you know, I kept playing in another band through college called Flip Your For Real. And, you know, it was the heydays of the 90s. So there was a show every day of a weekend, whether it was in a VFW hall, at the Tune In, Toad's Place. And we would just travel around the area playing these shows. And that's how I got to know Bucket, Cooley. One of Cooley's first shows was down here.
Oh, yeah?
In New Haven as the Pilfers. So it just became this thing. And that Tune-In just developed all these bands. And it, you know, they had ska bands, punk bands, hardcore bands. I mean, Hatebreed's from there, Jamie Justice from down here. You know, now we know him as JR, but Peter Wazalewski, who was in Spring Hill Jack and JC Superska, you know, now plays with Les and Jake and Chris Rhodes and Tyler Jones. And it just spawned this whole scene where, you know, we were just kids that wanted to play music like the people we had saw at our high school. And now look, somehow we're still doing it. And you know, and then, you know, it just became life for me, just that style of music. And now we're here trying to put on this festival so we could basically do what we want, have this music, and everybody comes and hangs out and we create some great memories, some great vibes, some great music, and really take it to the next level and show people like, hey, look, we're here and this festival is great and you need to come down here.
Okay. So we're recording in December of 2022, but we'll air this, I think, in January. I think whenever it is you guys have finished announcing bands, so we can talk about whoever's on the bill. We won't be spoiling anything. So the lineup this year, I want to talk about the lineup this year and sort of the thought process behind it. Now I've felt like, you know, previous lineups have been great, but this lineup is just really, I feel like you've gone up a level, and I feel like it's very well thought out in terms of really like demonstrating a full spectrum of ska. You hit bands from different time periods that are still playing. you hit bands from different countries, you hit bands that are doing heavy, heavy ska core, traditional ska, everything in between. I feel like I would like to know a little bit about the mission statement of the festival, because it, to me, it feels like there's a sense of unity that, you know, we're all ska and we are all like part of the scene, like in a way that I haven't really seen demonstrated before by another festival.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great insight. And I think that's like in 2016, like coming out of that was the, you know, that was some of the thinking that I was trying to interject in there. And it, you know, it's a super long name, but it was the Supernova International Ska Festival, you know, and we wanted to focus a lot on, you know, getting some of those international bands in. I think it's, for me, it's, you know, wanting to kind of keep the music going past the third wave and, you know, trying to bring in like a mix of young bands and older, you know, where they can kind of collaborate. They can kind of see some of these older bands and kind of respect, you know, like what they're doing. You know, I see a lot of growth. I was talking to Matt Wixon about this the other day, but, you know, a lot of growth in the, I mean, you see it in California for sure, but, you know, Latin bands that are coming up are great. You know, there's a lot of women-led bands in ska, more than, you know, seemed to be in the past. And then, you know, there's a lot of bands like the international side that people don't normally get to see or know about. So, you know, Pannonia All-Star Ska Orchestra is one that, you know, we're bringing in next year. We brought in Adhesivo from El Salvador last year. You know, some big bands, I think, you know, but don't really get a lot of press here. But the, like the Duelers haven't played in the U.S. at all. But they're huge in the UK, I think.
Yeah, that was one that I was really fascinated by because I'm not sure exactly how big they are, but I feel like maybe they have hits on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've got like millions of views on some of their busking like videos and things that they did.
But yeah, pretty much unknown here, except for people who are digging for ska, you know, new ska bands out of the UK that are playing, you know, more traditional sounding kind of stuff.
But that's part of this whole vibe. And I think you definitely nailed it with what, you know, our process was for thinking about how do you bring things, especially over here, that we're not used to seeing. And then as we all got into ska at some point, right, we got in with our gateway and let's say it was the third wave. Well, we dug and we dug and we dug and we found out about all these bands. And, you know, you went from loving the Voodoo Glow Skulls, which is one of my favorite bands, to, you know, literally like a year later, like Hepcap was like my favorite thing. And then you find out about all these other things in the lineage. So I think that's another way that we bring people into this festival where, you know, Tim's got a great ear. He's also got his feelers out. And it helps that when you have the festival, people also will have no doubt the ability to come at you and say, hey, we want to play. But just to find these bands and open our audience's ears here to them. And I think it really just hits that international vibe because, you know, you get bands from other countries and all of a sudden it makes this international ska festival exactly that. And you know, you throw in the American bands that we're used to, but it just, I don't know. It just has this way of spider webbing, which is kind of what's, you know, started ska and kept ska going throughout the decades.
Yeah, I particularly like that you still include those bands too. Like Voodoo Glow Skulls is playing, you know, Suicide Machines are playing. It's like you're not having only those bands, and you're also not moving past those bands saying, okay, well, we're done with those bands. Let's go on to the other stuff. It's all inclusive.
I mean, that's one of the things is to like, you know, set that lineage, whether it's from the 90s, whether it's from the 80s, whether it's from the 70s and 60s, to now what are bands doing out there, right? Like Voodoo, they changed their lead singer, right? Frank is no longer there.
Yeah.
And you add somebody else in, and they've found a way to like keep the aesthetic for real, but like their new stuff, it's like opening other people's ears to it. Right. Oh, the Voodoo Glow Skulls. Because some people might not even realize that did occur. You know, they changed the lead singer. But you get that same energy on stage. And it's one of those things where it's like if you bring in one fan from this band and you get them to the place, now they're going to pick up two or three other bands because of the bill. And they're going to be like, oh, wow, now I'm fans of those bands. And I think that's what festivals allow you to actually, you know, undertake. Whereas it's a little different when you have touring bands, because it's a lot of, you know, this band, this band, this band. We know that what we're going to get when we go to that show.
Yeah. I'm not like dissing this festival, but the Back to the Beach festival didn't necessarily appeal to me because it seemed like it was too much leaning on this retro sort of thing. And to me, that was kind of, yeah, like I'm not really, you know, I don't really want to necessarily go relive this period of time. You know, I'll probably see those individual bands when they come through, but like the vibe of it doesn't quite appeal to me. But the vibe of what you guys are creating is like timeless. Ska is timeless, and here it is.
Yeah, I kind of like looking at that. It felt more like a museum, maybe. You know, it's like a time capsule. Whereas, you know, a lot of the bands we try to bring in are, you know, most of those are still working bands. They're still touring.
Yeah.
You know, hard working bands. Not that the people at Back to the Beach weren't, but.
Well, I think that festival, right? Like Feldman put that on. So, and it was supposed to be the Back to the Beach was kind of like that vibe.
Yeah.
Right. That movie, all those bands from the West Coast. Right. So it had that thing, but I think the Supernova International Ska Festival, especially this year, is the culmination of Tim's brainchild and bringing it into, you know, a festival that people look at, whether it's fans, bands, or let's just say even in this aspect, advertisers, and they go, wow, what are they doing here? They're curating a whole genre of music where all these fans can attach to their certain favorite bands there. But when they come here, they're going to get a variety and they're going to get this look at different styles of bands and different music within this kind of genre, which is so huge. And they're going to come and enjoy it. And it's going to have that vibe. And I think that's really what we're going for. And I think that's what we're looking to establish at this year's festival is that. And when people look at that, it goes, the art makes sense. The bands make sense. The booze makes sense. The food makes sense. The party makes sense. The people coming makes sense. And the bands make sense.
Yeah, because I feel like Back to the Beach, again, not to focus too much on that, but I feel like people that have no interest in ska or haven't been paying attention to ska, it's like, it's almost like they get that. They understand what that is. And that fulfills exactly their concept of ska.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they would look at your lineup and be like, what the hell is this? I don't even know what this is.
Who is this?
But people, exactly. But people that are actual active ska listeners do. They get it.
Yeah. And I think also, though, for fans that may see a Suicide Machines on that bill or somebody else that's their gateway drug.
Yeah.
When they come to the location, they're going to vibe out and they're going to be like, oh, these people aren't messing around. This isn't just some patched together thing. Like, this was well thought out. And I think when they come, people will go, oh, this is the real deal. What a festival this was. And they'll see their favorite band that brought them here, but they'll bump into another two or three bands. And I think that's where that digging in the crates feel of like old school hip hop, right? Like, how am I going to dig in this crate and find this record that was sampled on this song? And now I'm a 60s soul fan. This is the digging of the crates of ska music right here. But it's just live and direct in people's faces, in people's ears.
Nice.
Okay, so you got Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra headlining Saturday night.
It's nuts. It's insane.
Was this a tough get? Because this blew my mind that you got this band.
do you know John Pantel?
Who's that?
He's the manager of the Slackers.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah.
Sound talent group. As soon as we finished, like on Sunday night last year, like he reached out like 5 minutes later and said, you know, Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra, you know, he was like booking them in the US, you know, like, are you interested? And it wasn't a hard get. It was like a tough negotiation.
Sure.
But we probably overpaid, but we really, you know, we really wanted that kind of anchor, that excitement from the very beginning. And I thought that was the band that would give that to us.
Definitely. I think that says it all. honestly, that says it all. You got Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra. The whole it's 3 days of great bands, but that says it all.
Well, when you're putting together a festival that literally says international in it.
Yeah.
Especially now when what we're thinking of, like, you got to go big. And I think that, listen, if you want Tim to go big, give him a year off. Now, whether that's because of something that happens or his wife threatens him, if April threatens him, whatever it is, give him some time, because he'll find the way to spark his wife's interest again and then dive into this whole insanity that we're doing now and get another crazy person, i.e. the guy from New Haven, involved. And
$4.
Right? I'm dude, I got to make some money, because right now, are we making any money with the festival? Are we profitable yet? But that, like, you give him time, and especially on my end, which I'm sure we will get into, right? Like, give creative some time, and things will get weird in a good way. But that's the kind of crazy ideas, like, oh, we have an international ska festival. Who's probably the biggest band? Oh, they just closed the Olympic ceremonies that we all saw on NBC. Well, geez, we should probably go try and get them.
So you said you overpaid, and I, and, you know, we can't ask how much you paid, but what type of car would you be able to afford with that guarantee?
I don't even know anymore.
Well, that's the other problem, is that, you know, when we were putting these together, the deals, you know, like in the financial situation currently of the country, you know, there was a lot of inflation, and getting a squad like that over from Japan is
yeah,
no matter what, you're going to either overpay, and to be quite honest, they're probably not getting paid enough to do right. this trip for the people, but, you know, they do it for the love. Yeah. They understand the promotion. They want to play a great festival. We'd love to have them. But yeah, when you start inking some of these checks, it's like, oh boy.
That's ska inflation.
Scaflation.
Scaflation. Jeez. We were trying to launch them like in mid-September, and I put out an offer, and then it was kind of accepted, but not really yet. And so we were kind of making plans to still launch in September, and we got a couple weeks out, and they're like, nah, we need more. And we ended up going with the original offer, but, you know, we were kind of frantic because we were working with the artist Nan Coffey on our poster designs and kind of doing, you know, planning a release every month of a poster with special bands on it, you know, so we already kind of had all that being, you know, it was getting kind of finished up. And so we were kind of in panic mode, and, you know, who else could we get if we don't get Tokyo Ska Paradise? You know, how long can we wait on them to make a decision? You know, cause they're super busy, you know, but they ended up coming around, and we got to launch it when we wanted to launch it. And it had a great, great push right from the beginning.
Glad it worked out.
So you have a Bad Time Records block. We Are the Union, Cat Bite, Kill Lincoln, Bad Operation, Jay Navarro and the Traitors.
Yes.
I mean, they're rolling deep. If anybody's been online, you know that Bad Times represents all over any socials. And obviously they've been putting out music, and they've been hitting the road. And when you have the international part and you look at just the United States here, you got to get who's doing the new stuff, right?
Yeah.
And who's putting that invigoration back into the scene, because a lot of that, I mean, and you mentioned Jay, right? Jay Navarro's on that label. Well, one of the reasons you keep Jay going, right, because all these years, is there's new things that invigorate him to go, you know what, wow, I'm gonna put my record out on Bad Times, because I'm finding some new fans and some new ways in. And they all put on great shows too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, Mike and Brent, but they've been really helpful over the years, even though like some of their bands haven't been on, like Cat Bite was on last year. You know, we've just been watching, obviously, like the social media, like go crazy with We Are the Union, and Bad Operations doing a great job. And they all, you know, the music's always solid, you know, so we wanted to reach out and see if we could do something more. So we're going to have like a Saturday block of just the Bad Times in the middle of the day, kind of back and forth, like dueling stages.
Nice.
That reminds me of like, I don't know, late 90s hip hop, mid 90s hip hop, like whether it's like Death Row or Rockefeller Records, like you had all these like artists from those labels, and it was a force to be reckoned with. So when you see this, and then Nan did such a ridiculous job on the artwork for that release, you just feel that vibe, and you feel like these five bands are going to come over, take over, and they're going to rock your face off. And it's like, you know, and it's also cool to have that in a different part of the show. So it's like, you know, one of those things is always trying to figure out who's going when, but to have that kind of heat in a spot that you may think, oh, well, it's not the headliner spot, but like smack dab right in the middle of everything. Like there's nothing you can miss.
Yeah.
Like you got to be there. Don't oversleep. And if you're going to oversleep, bring your lawn chair so you could put it on the side of the stage and wake up when the music starts.
So the other act I think that kind of blew my mind the most that you booked is Don Letts.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, he's been really, I don't know if you've read his autobiography, but you know, I always like had mad respect for Don Letts and kind of his role in kind of bridging that, you know, reggae and punk and ska and everything. I read his autobiography like when I was planning everything last year and just solidified it. And it's really wanted to kind of get him here and announce him early, you know, and I still need to kind of get back to him and see if we could do some early programming and, you know, maybe a book talk or, you know, he just had a documentary come out about him, which is really good, you know. But the funny thing is, I don't know if do you know Ken Stewart from the Scatolites?
Yes, I do.
So Ken was, I think he was in Columbia like a couple weeks ago, and he's like, hey, Don Letts is here. I'm going to go talk to him. Like, okay. And he's messaging me and he's like, you know, telling Don, like, I'm so excited. I'm going to see you at Supernova. And Don is like, I don't know what that is. And even though we've got him booked, you know, and Ken's like, it's a music, like a ska festival in Virginia. He's like, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be there. As long as I'm not dead, I'll be there. You know, and so he was just like, he's kind of was like touring like, you know, South America. So he was like, you know, he only kind of plans like a month out. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not on his radar yet, but I'm sure he's going to have a good time and we're going to love having him.
Don Letts for me is like, how many stories can I get from him? What can I hear about from the Clash, you know, era? Like for me, that's definitely a, like, hey, can I have your autograph so I could put it on a poster and frame it and send it back to my uncle?
Yeah.
Because when I told him you were playing this, he was like, how the heck did you get him? You know, and that's goes back to like the iteration of how I found out about all of that music from my uncle. So yeah, that one's for me is like, I can't believe it. Crazy Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah, everywhere I go in town now, I'm like looking at a venue and like, okay, what can we do with Don Letts here? What can we do with Don Letts at this theater? What can we, you know, we'll try to, you know, not wear him out, hopefully, but, you know, he's got so many things going on, such a history. I think people would want to hear it and see it.
Tim, your wife has been involved in the development of this festival. Can you just talk a little bit about the role she's played?
She is, you know, a collaborator on some of the bands, you know, kind of keeps everything on the tracks, keeps things, I think, from getting too insane sometimes in a good way.
That's for sure.
She's kind of, what do you call it? Like a utility infielder, like she could play a lot of different roles, from photographer to graphic designer to like shuttle bus driver. So now like kind of she's done everything in the festival, and yeah, I think probably if not for her like connections, like she's the people that do all the catering for us, like is her best friend, and then her best friend's brother-in-law is the guy that does all the sound for us from the very beginning. So he works at a company called Showtime Sounds. His name is Mark Chauvin. And he's like started off just hauling staging down to Fredericksburg, Virginia. And now, you know, he's bringing in big stages. They can put up, you know, they go out with acts like Kevin Hart, you know, so they do some big things. And he's kind of pulling in the other direction too, where he wants to put up big scaffolding and, you know, major LED screens, and they've got all the capabilities to do that, you know, but we're trying to kind of keep the budgets in line until we at least know how many tickets we sell.
April is like, she knows just enough of when to let the conversation go into crazy town and then like reel it back. And like, it's amazing how she could kind of get you to do what she wants, even though she lets you kind of do what you want. But you realize that, wait a second, that is a crazy idea. But if we scale it back here, it's even better. And at last year's festival, she's also very, listen, don't mess with April. That's all I know. Don't mess with April. Very nice. But if you mess, she's going to put everybody in their place and where they need to be. As far, and when you're running a festival like this from so many different aspects, especially like, you know, last year when there was some partnership with the brewery and some things may or may not have gotten done, she's the type of person you want around because there's not much nonsense, and she knows that this has got to run smooth so everybody else knows they're having a great time, even though some of us are running around like crazy people.
Yeah. And I think the goal for 2023 is to kind of give her a little bit more downtime and more fun with her friends and less time, like having to be the heavy and enforcer for some of this.
Uh-huh. So what are you most looking forward to for 2023's Supernova Festival? We'll close on that.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, this time around, the thing that people didn't like last time was the food and beer selection. And this time around, we're doing like a what Matt Wixon calls a Hepcot, which is like a multiple. It's like a village of like, you know, there's a little Tokyo and, you know, London and Kingston where the food and the drinks and the cocktails and the beers will all be from those cities. Mm. And there'll be different pavilions for at least that's how we're envisioning it. You know, we'll see when we actually go to you know, get the tents and everything and the bars, what that runs, but that's kind of the vision right now. So, you know, it's more than just the bands. It's kind of a bigger experience and, you know, a lot of, I think, you know, signings by the bands in those areas and, you know, hopefully people will receive that well. I think it will be, for the bands wise, there's a lot that I'm looking forward to. Don Letts is my top one, but, you know, I really want to see, you know, hopefully Holly Cook comes. I want to see Holly Cook and like I would say the Suicide Machines are my third band.
I think going into this year's festival, the whole vibe, the look of it, the feel of it, from me, a bigger, you know, genre perspective and a marketing perspective, when you go in, you know, there's a lot of cohesion. And I think Nan's art, our ideas about the bars and the different little places, the bill, the bands, I think that to me is where that expansion and that excitement comes. And that to me, like, I really just, and being right near the water, like, I just want to look out and see that or get a drone shot of it and see that and go, wow, all that planning, all that work paid off. And when people go there, they've always been good about telling us what they liked, especially about the festival. But I kind of just want to blow people's minds.
Yeah.
And people go, I can't believe, like, and Tim has created this. And that's that next level. I mean, the bands are going to be great. I can't wait for Tokyo because there's just something about bands from Japan and people from Japan that play this music. Like, I remember the first time I saw Kimuri, like, my jaw just dropped. I was like, how do they do this? They're out of their minds. Like, they just didn't stop. They were all over the place. It was chaos. It was great. And I think Tokyo, you know, stylistically, the music's a little different, but to see basically like jazz musicians kind of put that much energy and adrenaline into it and like just see a whole crowd of people swaying That to me is that's the band I'm looking forward to.
I think that the festival to me feels like taking ska serious in a way that it needs to be taken seriously. And for that, I am most appreciative of what you guys are doing.
Well, that means a lot coming from the guy who wrote a book in defense of ska.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron.
I mean, that's a good way to put it. That's a great way to put it, because that's what we're going for. And, you know, people can talk all they want, but somewhere along the lines, and I think you've been diving into this with your podcast, somewhere along the lines, you've either liked ska, know somebody that's like your brother that likes ska, or you've listened to a kind of ska band, but maybe not, or you thought would not. And like, so that the genre spider web's out there. But I think if people see this festival, I think they will take it serious, because they'll be like, wow, this is put together and these bands are killing it.
Don't go anywhere. If you want to hear the rest of this conversation, head over to our Patreon. Thank you for listening to In Defense of Ska. Please rate and review this podcast and tell a friend. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at In Defense of Ska. Pick up Aaron's book, In Defense of Ska, at your local bookstore or online. This podcast is edited by Chris Reeves of Ska Punk International. This is your co-host, Adam Davis of Omnigon, leaving you by saying ska now more than ever.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.